Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next episode of the Philly Mick and a Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mick. The Philly Hump will be joining me in just 1 second. As per usual, we're having a little technical difficulties with Blog Talk. basically just trying to sign in. But let me see here. I know the Hump is sitting here waiting. Let's go ahead and bring him on in. Hello, Hump, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Little Blog Talk computer issues there.
Well, I wonder if part of the issue might have been I had been signed in and kept it in there since I scheduled the show earlier. And then when you texted me let me know that you were going to be hosting, I went to close out of it, but I don't know if I did it in time. Maybe you had issues signing on because of that.
Well, I'm not sure why, but I don't see why they wouldn't allow both of us to be technically on. But either way, whatever.
But we're here now.
Yeah, we're here now, and that's all that matters. So we're going to get right into it. We have a month and a day away from the draft. Speculation is currently at an all-time high, as it normally is, but especially this year with the whole Marcus Mariota and all that.
There's always a lot of anticipation. I know, especially from you and I, you know, as we get like more months, 6 weeks or whatever away from the draft, you and I are always at a high fever pitch of anticipation and going through mock drafts and scenarios. But it just seems like now everyone is. It's completely taken over. Like, you can't turn on any of the sports talk radio shows around here and hear anything about any of the other teams. I don't know if it's because of how bad they are or just how much excitement there is about this football team.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
maybe a combination of both, but...
Certainly. What is going on here?
There's certainly some bad sports teams here in Philadelphia these days.
Well, the Phillies are projected to be the worst team. The Sixers are one of the worst teams. The Flyers have missed the playoffs. And the Eagles have basically revamped their entire team to much
which of
the chagrin
of...
Now. Yeah, that's for sure. It's exciting, but also a little frustrating, you know?
Sure. Well, it's going to be tough on the old wallet, too, when it comes time to buying new jerseys. LeSean McCoy jersey, he's now traded. The DeSean Jackson jersey a couple of years ago, you know, 2 years ago when he got released. But then I also have a Trent Cole jersey that now gets to be retired. So, I'm looking at, I got Connor Barwin and Brent Celek that I can wear to games.
Oh, good. This will probably be the last year of Brent Celek.
Yeah, most likely. So I'll have to get that out of the system this year. But it's going to be, you know, obviously the next 32 days, and what do we have? 4 shows, I think, between now and then. We'll definitely be getting into lots of mock drafts and different scenarios, possible trade partners, and maybe some different trades that are going to involve some other teams that don't necessarily affect the Eagles that much. Because, I mean, like, that's been the major talking point, not only on our show but and in talk radio, but on ESPN. Like, I mean, the last few weeks, it's all been, what is it going to take for the Eagles to get up to, say, 2, 3, 6, even 10 has been talked about.
Yeah,
and it makes me wonder, it's like, okay, well, we know everybody's expecting some kind of bombshell from the Eagles and what they're going to do. What's everybody else going to do? Is that going to cause a chain reaction? Are other teams going to be making different deals? Are they going to be making deals to block the Eagles? I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot behind the scenes. People are throwing up a lot of smoke screens right now. The Redskins saying that if Mariota were to make it to 5, he won't go any further, which I think would be stupid, but... It is the Redskins.
Yeah. I've seen as many mock drafts as I've seen him at 2. I've seen him at 5. I've seen him at 6. I've seen him at 7. Mm-hmm. I've seen him at 10. I've seen him at 12.
Well, I'm assuming at 7 you had somebody different trading it because Atlanta went and take him at 7.
Or, I'm sorry, 8 then, whatever Chicago okay. pick is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of a crap.
Of course, one of the rumors I heard, well, I kind of, like, I heard it once and it kind of made a lot of sense to me, was about Chicago, and I thought, man, if they're really thinking that Mariota would go early, if someone were to trade up with, like, say, the Redskins or the Raiders, what if the Chicago Bears made a deal to get up to, say, the number 2 slot, and in the deal sent Jay Cutler back to Tennessee, where he went, he played college at Vanderbilt, and he's very popular in that area. And, you know, Jay Cutler becomes a Titan along with, like, you know, a couple picks, and the Chicago Bears trade up there to take Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible.
Of course, then again, there's thoughts that, you know, the Bears could be able to just stay put and take Mariota.
Yeah.
And maybe trade Cutler for a couple picks from the Titans. None of which would be the number 2 overall pick, but, you know, maybe a third round, maybe a third and a 5 or something like that. Because even with, like, even if Tennessee loves him, the fact that he hasn't done anything to really produce. Last year was just a terrible year for Cutler. You know, they can't realistically spend any more than like a mid-round pick to send over to Chicago for Jay Cutler if that's what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I could see it, but I don't know. It's I can't remember a quarterback prospect having so many options of where they could possibly go, and then have so many people saying, you know, well, you know, he, you know, probably isn't going to fit, you know, with what these teams
right.
do, or, you know, there's, you know, he shouldn't be starting from day one. And
if you take a quarterback in the first round, I just think it's stupid not to be starting from day one. Now, I know Jacksonville didn't start Blake Bortles on day one, but by the end of the year, Bortles was starting and looking good. You, in this day and age, your plan can't be to draft a quarterback, especially in the first round, put him on the bench for a year, you know, or more. I mean, if that's your plan, you're not going to be the coach when he comes in to play.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And, you know, a lot of these teams, you know, will do certain things based upon the fact that maybe their job's on the line. And,
sure,
you know, that certainly factors into a few things, coaches and GMs and, you know, making that big splash.
I would assume if a coach felt like he might be on his last leg, maybe to buy himself some time, draft a rookie quarterback and start him from day one and say, hey, look, you got to give me a chance with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might buy him an extra year or two.
Yeah. It's honestly, it's a smart move. I mean, for him, I mean, it may not be a smart move for the organization, but.
Well, no.
That's something I might do.
Absolutely. I know if I were in that spot and I thought, crap, I'm really grasping at straws, got to find something to save my job, I absolutely would do it. No shame at all. Wouldn't care if it was the best thing for the organization.
Maybe one of the many
reasons why I'm not an NFL head coach.
I mean, it's probably one of the lower reasons why you're not on the head coach.
Yeah.
Probably number one is because you have zero affiliation to the game of football.
Yeah, not a former player, haven't coached at any level. I mean, I helped out some on the TE middle school team, like when I was in high school, but since then, no, kind of like, you know, never picked up a paycheck for doing a coaching job.
Yeah, I don't think ball boy helped factors into it.
Yeah, it wasn't ball boy. I like helped with tackling techniques and stuff. Like, I mean, I actually tried to help the kids, but yeah, but again, didn't receive a paycheck from Tredyffrin Easttown School District for my assistance.
Now the question is,
How were you able to teach kids tackling techniques when most of those kids were probably bigger than you?
It was on the 105 limit team.
That was a joke, bud.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just saying. I mean, that's a great that's a great argument to present, but yeah, it is about
so
technique.
Basically,
what you're really
saying, what you're saying is into coaching.
Well, hey, I wouldn't mind it, but I mean,
all right, let's do it.
All right.
I think the
first way to do this, though, is we got to start at, like, the lower levels. So one of us is probably going to have a kid and have them play, so then we have the excuse of saying, oh, we're going into coaching to help the kid. And then, you know, I'll be your assistant or something, and we'll rise to the ranks that way.
Yeah, I think we just need to call, like, a high school and be like, hey, listen, you know, do you guys need any help, you know, coaching, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Well,
yeah,
Bogan still coaches at Conestoga, and, I mean, you know, I know Bogan from when I went to high school there. Imagine I could call him. I mean, the athletic, is Bogan still the athletic director there? I mean, I knew him, too. I have no idea. I'll have to check with Nicholas on that one.
Yeah. But again, you go in there and be like, hey, listen, you know, I really want to, you know, get my feet wet. I want to learn. I'm willing to help in any capacity. You know, I just kind of want to learn, coaching football. And I'm sure, you know, some people will tell you to, you know, kick rocks. And I'm sure there'll be somebody who'll be like, all right, yeah, we can use
I think you could start off with just carrying some equipment around. Like, I know there was a guy who was a teacher at Conestoga when I was there. He was a gym teacher, and he said that one of the things he did was he got into, like, he's coached at several different levels in Division III schools and stuff. He just showed up and said, hey, like, I'll be one of your future scouts. I'll watch tape on the team you're playing next week and give you my evaluation, see what you think of it. And, you know, before you know it, he was, one of the assistants. And so, I mean, it does start that way. A lot of coaching, you know, a lot of coaches start out that way.
Sure. Yeah. So, well, there it is. You heard it here first, folks. The Philly Maker
going into coaching.
Going into coaching. And I would say maybe, like, I don't know, I'd give it 2 years before we're head coaches in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, easy. Just, yeah, 2 years.
Yeah, easy.
Figure when Chip runs back to college, we'll be coaching the Eagles. One of us will be, yeah.
All right, that works. I'll gladly give that spot to you. You can have all the pressure.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'll just be a highly paid assistant. And
you'll be everybody's favorite, you know, like the backup quarterback's everybody's favorite player. You'll be their favorite coach, the assistant coach. It's like, oh, it's never his fault. Get that whack job Eric out of there and make Ryan the head coach. And so you're the head coach, then they hate you.
I mean, I guess if that's not the way it works. I would need a significant bump in pay, though. So...
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
And I would also need to be the GM.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you just go in there and strong arm Lori. It'll work.
Yeah, apparently that's how it works. Cool. And then I'll
threaten Lori that you're going to go back to coaching Pee Wee football or something, and I'm sure he'll acquiesce.
Sure. Go for it, bro. And then I'll sign every person who I'll have the fastest team on earth. I don't care.
You have a lot of linebackers, I know that.
I will make sure our linebackers are nice. But I will be also signing every fast player imaginable. So if you can run a...
So I guess you're a fan of that kid, I'm blanking on the... the receiver from Miami
Dorsett?
Yeah, that's it, Dorsett.
Yeah, he's on the team. Sean Jackson,
cool.
You're back. Percy Harvin, welcome to the team. Chris Johnson,
so
welcome to the team.
So we'd have fast receivers and lots of linebackers.
Yeah, I'd have fast everything. Our offensive line wouldn't change that much because we do have a pretty athletic, fast offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm going speed at every position. Speed at every position. And I'm gonna get Mariota, Kaepernick.
I think that segues back. I think what the Eagles want to do is you've seen they want bigger guys, but they also want some fast guys too. You've got to be able to fit in the system. You've got to be able to move. And it's like we saw Jason Kelce, the way he blocks downfield. The way he can get out there and lead block and be blocking like 40 yards down the field.
Yeah, Kelce is, he'll get the initial block. All of a sudden you turn around and he's somehow ahead of sometimes he was ahead of Shady because Shady's dancing through lines and Kelce's already down there like, dude, hurry up. Like, come on,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, when the fat guy's telling you to hurry up, I mean, you might want to listen.
Yeah, you might want to stop dancing and just hit them holes.
Well, I think that's going to be one thing you won't see this year. It's going to be one cut and go for DeMarco Murray and for Ryan Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
And even Sproles, even though he's a smaller guy, he's one of those that he hits the hole quick, and he's not a dancer. He, makes that one cut, and then he's up the field. The thing is, he beats guys to the point of attack. That's what gets him, that's what gets him over. Like, DeMarco Murray can run somebody over. Darren Sproles just beats you to the spot so you can't get there to catch him.
I mean, that is definitely a dynamic I'm gonna like to see. I hope they utilize all three backs in a very nice way. And again,
yeah.
I think if we can just get ourselves, a halfway decent receiver.
And I think we will. It's not in this draft. I know Crabtree is still available.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the deal is there. I don't know if he's – you don't think they're interested?
Not in Crabtree. More and more time has gone by. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I just think if he was going to be a big signing, it would have happened already.
Right.
Yeah. And what's leading me to believe that maybe there's something else there. Maybe he wasn't healthy all year last year. Teams are worried about his health. He's had injury problems in the past. There's just usually with de-signing, when a guy is not signed at this point, there's more to it than you know. I remember a couple of years ago when we were sitting there constantly, like, how is Lofa Tatupu not being signed by anybody? Hell, we were midway through the season, you were still lobbying for the Eagles to go pick him up.
Yeah, and he eventually signed with someone, didn't he? Who was it?
I think he did eventually sign with somebody and then didn't see much playing time, and when he was out there, you kind of started to understand why no one
signed. Yeah, exactly. He was playing with injuries, and he wasn't fully healthy, and he never truly was ever again.
Yeah, which is a shame because he was a really talented football player.
Sure, I mean, look at the talented linebackers over the years that had a great couple of first years, and then injuries kind of killed them. Tupu was one of them. Sean Merriman is the other.
That was the next name I was about to say. Yeah, Sean Merriman was another one of your favorites that happened to. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I had both their jerseys. I was I rarely buy other team jerseys, and they were two of the ones I did. And unfortunately, their careers have ended up the way I was hoped.
Yeah, you were hoping when you got those guys that you were going to be wearing the jerseys and someday we were going to take a trip down to Canton and you're going to watch them get inducted.
All right. Got my powder blue jersey signed by Merriman. But
it's still a sweet-looking jersey, though, even though you're...
Oh, it absolutely is. I honestly have no idea where it is, though.
Oh, it's a shame. Did you ever get a Tupu jersey?
What?
Did you ever get a Tupu jersey?
Oh, yeah, I had one of his, too. They're,
okay.
I guarantee you they're probably somewhere in storage.
Ah.
Collecting dust.
Yeah.
Or vacuum air, whatever.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
But, yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, I'm, yeah, you know, and speaking of linebackers and injuries, you know, I'm very fearful that that is a possibility for
Kiko.
Our new man, Kiko.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no, the thoughts crossed my mind as well.
Well, there's not a lot of good history behind, you know, linebackers with significant injuries that, you
know,
they
come back and have productive remainders of careers.
Yeah. I mean, there are some, sure, but not
well, sure.
many.
There's exceptions to every rule. I mean, it's
all right.
But, yeah, they're like, I mean, take a look at what happened with D'Amico Ryans. He suffered a major injury in Houston. He was starting to come back. He played well here in 2013. I mean, I think we were all pleasantly surprised. We were wondering how he was going to be when he came here in 2013. Played well, and then was playing well, reasonably well, in 2014 before he got hurt again. And now that's got to be a major concern and going forward. I mean, you suffer one career-threatening injury and come back and are looking pretty good and starting to feel like, and last year before he got hurt, I started to finally feel like, okay, this guy's like, you know, he played all right in 2013, but 2014, he was really looking good. I thought this guy's going to return to form. And then he gets hurt again, and I'm really concerned that, and I think it's part of why they made the deal to get Kiko Alonso, is because the Eagles were worried about that as well. But, I mean, Kiko's so young that you just think, you know, if anybody's going to recover from a serious injury and be fine, it would be somebody that young and that body's not been through all the wars, you know, that
right.
Like
I mean,
Kiko Ryan.
While he does have, you know, some injuries on those legs, he is relatively very young. So one would hope that he can,
if anyone was going to, you'd think that the logical money would be on Kiko Alonso recovering and being able to have a productive career.
Yeah, well, I sure hope so. I'm, you know, I think it's funny, we were talking about jerseys and the like. I think we're going to stop buying jerseys all in all.
Okay.
Now, I've always been against the personalized jerseys.
Yeah, I too. I've never liked it.
As much as I would love to have an Eagles jersey with my last name on it, I just don't think it's something I would ever wear in public.
Right.
That's
it's something
me.
You
I
would
know.
Only wear on game days that you were going to the game, maybe. Even that, it's kind of just weird.
I know plenty of people who have them, and that's cool.
Sure.
That's what they want to do. A good buddy of mine, who you know, Joe, from our fantasy league, he has a Berry jersey.
Okay.
Granted, it's number 12. I think that's kind of an even more of a violation when you're using...
Yeah, because especially if that's only... Well, that's the thing. The number I would get would be 15. It's always been my favorite number. And
right,
the Eagles retire that number. Like, I
right.
feel like I couldn't get a number that's been retired because of somebody else, like, you know?
Or been a number of someone of substantial, you know, name.
Right.
You know, 12, that's coming out.
Yeah, it's random.
You don't
do
it.
You can't do that, no.
Right.
I think that is a violation.
Right. So you don't get number 5. You don't get number 20.
No.
You know, you don't get number 60.
No.
I think we should
go ahead and make mention of the passing of the Eagle legend Chuck Bednarik.
Yeah,
it's a shame
Charlie,
to hear.
He passed away. Actually, I do have a Bednarik jersey.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like this new, old school kind of looking jersey. It's black.
Yeah. I think I saw one
in
Foreman Mill.
But still, it kind of looked cool, and I wanted it. But unfortunately, he did pass away. He was in his late 80s. One of the last true tough guys.
Last 60-minute man.
I mean, no one will ever forget that iconic shot of him standing over Frank Gifford with his pumping his fist, legend of him saying, "This game is effing over." Standing over what many people thought was a dead Gifford. he got hit. No. People thought he was dead.
You can hit somebody and people are not just thinking you tackle it, you hit him hard. When people think you ended his life, you're bad at it.
He certainly ended his career, but people thought he was dead.
Gifford never played again.
And that was quite the moment.
I think
we've
got about a minute left in our live show.
We do. I love how our studio says I have about a minute and a half. Gotta love the timing on that. But anyway, sorry for the late show. I know we're usually on at 11. We had some scheduling issues, and then I know, obviously, we started a minute or two late because of some Blog Talk issues. But we want to thank everybody who listens to our show on the regular. Thank you very much. Me and the hump here, we just kind of like talking and going back and forth and BSing with each other. But we're glad other people like to listen to us. So visit our podcast on iTunes. I want to thank everybody for listening. So for the Philly Nick.
I'm the Philly Hump.
Thanks for listening to Philadelphia. See you in the podcast. All right. We are officially on live and in said podcast.
Awesome. And thanks for everybody listening now on the podcast. We appreciate your support. I know I checked out the site and saw that we get quite a few people who will log on later and listen to our podcast later.
Yeah.
So we definitely appreciate it. So any of you guys listening now next week, you want to call in next Sunday? And call in. Let your voices be heard.
Yeah. Honestly, if you've listened to this show even once when somebody's called in, not that we don't take it seriously, but we have a good time. People call in, people joke around, we talk about whatever, we BS, just like we normally do, but with you. And you can talk about whatever you want. If you want to call in and literally tell us we are the two stupidest people in the world, go for it. Honestly, go for it. That'd be hilarious today.
Awesome. I did get a review based on last week, and I know you've been having a tough time with, scheduling at the hotel and and everything, you hadn't gotten much sleep. And the review I got was, you need to get some energy. Of course, my response to him was, he commented on Facebook on the post that I put on it. And my response to him was, hey, next week, call in and let him hear it.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah.
Say, F you, drink a Red Bull. I mean, I will say, on my defense, I don't think I got home till 5 in the morning that particular morning before the show. So needless to say, I was maybe working on 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
Believe me, I understood why you were struggling.
I didn't think it was that noticeable, but Jesus. Yeah, who was this person anyway?
I knew why, and maybe that's why I kind of noticed it more than I thought others might. But I didn't think it was bad. I just thought, that there were some times you probably just needed me to take over. You wanted to take a 3-second nap.
That could have just been me, you know, try to take a piss.
You're like, yeah, that may be true, too.
I mean, I do that all the time. I'm not going to lie. I'll set you up so that you can, I know how to set you up properly to where you'll go on, like, a 30-second to a minute, like, tangent. And especially if you don't hear me answer right away, you'll just keep going if I don't, like, cut you off or, like, you know, if you pause for a second, usually I'll start talking. But when I don't, you'll keep going. So what I'll do is I'll literally
I'll read that as you need some more, like, you may be doing something or you need me to just keep going with the thought.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just
honestly
liked where my thought was going.
It's usually not bad, no offense.
He must really think I'm onto something here. Nah, I can't
man,
be it.
I really got it. Nope. No, it's just 99% of the time. Just take it away. But it's not like regular shows, you know, that you hear on the air where, you know, they'll have commercial breaks and they'll have, you know, yada, yada, yada. And usually when it's a two-man show, you know, they can, you know, again, they can wait until, you know,
well, they send it to commercial, and then they get it. I do know that this is what that does happen. You know, like, I remember when I was at 97.5, he had to go to the bathroom real bad one time. They go to commercial. He puts the headset down to go to the bathroom. I'm thinking, I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And he's walking by to make a joke to me. He's like, oh, if I'm not back by the time the show's ready to kick back on, just take over.
Who is that?
Miss Minnelli.
Oh, nice.
I looked at one of the other interns. I'm like, dude, can you go lock the bathroom for me?
Yeah, I literally just said that. I was like, you should have locked the bathroom door.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
I said that to the guy, and they're like, I don't think he's serious. I'm like, I am. Lock the door.
Yeah. All right, then we're back for a commercial. Mike Mesnelli is incapacitated. It's now the Eric Show.
That's right, I've taken over, and you know, whenever anybody calls you, you're an idiot next.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't agree with you. Click.
You know, that's all really interesting, except for the fact that you're a moron. Click.
Oh, the
ratings. That was my shot there. I should have, you know, if I'd done that and then texted you while I was doing that, you could have called in, and that could have been the start of the Philly Mick and Hump Show on 97.5.
It could have been. We could have taken over the afternoon drive.
Yeah. That is our goal. We're coming for you, Miss Anelli. That and, what is it, Tony Bruno and Josh Innes who do 94.1.
They are terrible.
I've never been a big Tony Bruno fan.
I like Tony Bruno. He's not terrible. He has a certain style.
You don't
style.
Like Josh Innes?
Yeah, I think he's just like a cocky kid. You know, like, I think he's, you know, I'm sure it's very deservedly so. He's risen through the ranks, and now he's, you know, he's in the prime slot, working with a legend, going up against, you know, basically another Philadelphia legend on the other station.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the confidence is at an all-time high for the kid. But you can hear
he's
it
not
in his
from
voice.
Here. Yeah, he's actually from St. Louis.
Yeah. But
and worked in Houston for a while.
You can hear the cockiness in his voice, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that I don't like.
I kind of like that guy. I kind of like it. He's brash. He'll take on some different things. And one of the things I like is that if you don't like him and you want to call in and tell him you don't like him, he'll let you come in and do that. I know there's other guys at other stations, maybe one that I used to work with that does not like to do that.
Well, we got to take the hate with the love, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one thing I'll give him a lot of credit for. He takes on that hate and he doesn't back away from it. Yeah, and if you call it, you can call in just to say, hey, I think you suck, which I think reminds me of the way we are. We encourage that. Hey, if you want to call and tell us we suck, go ahead. But he just asked you to back up with a reason why he sucks.
You suck because you suck. Oh,
yeah, that's the only thing he is. Like, So then it's funny because he'll then go ahead and like turn it back on them and go, "You don't talk enough sports." He's like, "I don't talk enough sports. I was just talking about all the different stats that the Phillies have, how many runs they scored last year." And like, I think it's funny because like, they'll try and call him out and saying he doesn't talk enough sports. And he's like, "So you pick on like the 5 minutes that I'm talking to Mark Farzetta about something," and he's like, "and you don't even, and that negates the previous 2 hours of me talking about, you know, what's
right.
going on with the Phillies and the Eagles."
A lot of people who call into the sports shows.
Well, they listen to 5 minutes of it and just right away are like, "Oh my God, he never talks sports." And it's like, okay, you didn't hear what he was talking about before because you just got in your car.
Yeah, or exactly. Or they make, you know, some point as more or less as a counterpoint to something that was just said. And then, yeah,
mm-hmm.
people call in and be like, "Oh, well, you said." I was like, "Yeah, well, if you listened to the whole thing, you would have known that I was, you know, doing this." And no, I hear you, so.
Yeah.
But
I like that.
You know,
I do think sometimes he's a little over the top with constantly talking about how much certain people don't like him. It's like I almost feel like that's now part of his shtick.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, look, I get it. You want to, like, talk about how you're hated and stuff, like, but that's not going to make you more likable.
Agreed.
What?
Agreed.
What's that?
I said agreed.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, so that's our critiques of the local radio stations. Personally, I'm just waiting for the phone call saying the Philly Mick and Hump Show will be doing mornings on 97.5. They're not going to be doing the simulcast on Mike and Mike Show.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I would love it if ESPN Radio would get their own radio station on our local airs and just have their local just have the national guys on a separate radio station and have all local guys on 97.5. Plus,
right,
I would love to have a third alternative.
Yeah, 6 to 10 in the morning is Mike and Mike. And then I think usually around, like,
Gary and Shander come on in locally here.
Right, but I think it's local all the way up until about midnight when Freddie Coleman show comes on. And then it's, you know, whatever, something else after him that gets you right into Mike and Mike. So there's technically 10 hours there that's not local. You know, out of the day. So,
which, hey, we could do the local morning show, you know, the Philly Nick and Hump show. I'm sure there are other aspiring broadcasters they could bring in to do those other shows.
Hey.
But I figure since we're now an established Philadelphia mainstay, I figure
naturally,
we ought to be in the morning slot.
We'll gladly do a 12
well,
to
hey,
2
I'll do
slot.
Overnight. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we'll gladly
do. We're more of an established product. We have a track record now in this area with, what, 10 people?
Yeah. And they're all people we personally know.
Yeah.
And they're
waiting for that first review I get from someone that we don't know. But
right. It'll happen.
Well, then again,
It'll happen.
Remember a couple of years ago when that Seattle guy called in, and back in the good old days, which, funny, last week when I was trying to look for something on the show, I was trying to look for that link that you were telling me. I didn't realize where it was. I did a search on the computer for our show. One of the first shows that pops up, our draft special, when we did the 2-hour special on the night of the draft.
Oh,
I definitely pulled that up on my iPod and was listening to that at work the other day.
Well, if you type in the Philly Mick into iTunes, our podcast comes up. So
yeah, no, I downloaded it. I did our podcast now every week on my iPod.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, you have an iPod?
Yeah.
Hey,
I have one of the iPod, an iPod Touch, yeah.
You have an iPod Touch?
Yeah.
So basically you have an iPhone that doesn't make phone calls?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have my phone for that.
All right. And what kind of phone
do you have? Yeah, I could text you from it.
What phone do you have again?
The Android.
Good old Android.
Yeah. Which
but
is funny, last week we went in to get our bill lowered because our bill was crazy, and he cut like $30 off it, but in the process we got one of those tablets.
Which one?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
An iPad or what?
No, it wasn't the iPad. It was, but it's basically the equivalent for. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we have two iPads. We have the Apple TV. I have my iPhone. And once Amy's contract is up, she's going to switch over to the iPhone as well.
And that was our extent of not talking sports during the podcast, so, because I know we're about to get cut off here in about a minute and a half.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm going to totally have to scream with the Blog Talk lady.
So that was just for Josh Innocent, his not talking sports, so we had to take a moment to not talk sports.
There you go. But, yeah, I'd say we have about a minute. And, well, honestly, yeah, we didn't really get too much this episode. We just kind of did our normal BS talk.
We'll do a mock draft or something. Just make up for
it. Yeah, maybe we'll go back and forth and we'll both kind of, and I'm just going to kind of wing it. I know who's all there, and I know I've read enough.
I know the draft order up till the Eagles. After that, I get hazy, but.
Yeah, I couldn't care less after the Eagles.
Maybe we'll just do it up to the Eagles. Like, maybe you can take one pick, I'll take the next pick, and we'll go back and forth, and then we'll both do our Eagles picks.
Hey, there you go. That sounds good. But, all right, well, we want to thank everybody who's listening into this podcast. It obviously means that you have downloaded our show, so thank you so much. Everyone who is a fan of us on Facebook, thank you so much. If you are not, search us on Facebook, like our page, share it with your friends. If you're on Twitter, the Philly Mick and the Philly Hump, all with underscores in between, check us out on Twitter. Download the show on iTunes. Email the show at PhillyMickAndHumpShow@gmail.com. We are all over the place. I'm pretty sure next week we're going to get a Tinder.